Chapter 50. Then. "Fuck, I'll be glad when this visit is over," Rob says reluctantly, peeling the potatoes and putting them in a pan of cold water. "Polish this, clean that, throw that away, hide this." He looks over to where she's pouring boiling water into the stuffing mix. "He's just a bloke, not the fucking Pope." Adele sticks her tongue out at him, and he throws some wet potato skin at her. "Don't worry, I'll pick it up," he says, gently mocking her once more. "I want things to be nice," she says, "for all of us." She's so excited about David coming that she could barely sleep at all last night, even though they'd got pretty stoned. Rob, however, has got moodier and moodier about the visit, even though he's promised to be nice. She's pretty sure it's nerves. People aren't his thing. And no matter how much she tells him he'll like David, she can see that he's not at all convinced. "It'll be fine," he says, his dark hair flopping over his face as he returns to his task. "Well, if you don't poison us with all that chicken anyway, and make sure you rub plenty of butter into the skin." The past 24 hours have kept them busy. They've cleaned up all the debris of their feral lives. No evidence of junk food and joint roaches and spilled tobacco anywhere. And the rooms smell of polish and air freshener. A proper grown-up house. Rob's even promised not to mention drugs or get high or anything over the weekend. Adele doesn't believe for a second that he won't have a joint when he's on his own in his room, but Rob's sharp enough to open a window, and the house is certainly big enough that the smell won't carry. When the chicken is finally stuffed and in the oven, she checks her watch. David's watch, that's now hers, a constant link to him. For the 1,000th time that day. "He'll be here soon," she says, grinning. She's glowing and she can't help it. David, David, David. Her head is filled with him. 10 minutes or so, I think.
"Whoop-dee-doo," Rob says. "Can we have a drink now?"
She pours them both a glass of wine, feeling very grown up, with her roast dinner on and drinking from her parents' best crystal glasses. They should probably wait for David, but a drink will relax Rob. They lean against the kitchen table together, and she links her arm into his. "David can be a bit quiet and reserved at first," she says, "but don't read anything into it. That's just his way. He's a bit shy, but he's very funny when he relaxes."
"Funny like me?"
Rob looks sideways at her, and she nudges his ribs. "Different funny. Anyway, I have every confidence that you'll like him. If you can get past the awful fact that he worries about me. I mean, how terrible of him, after everything."
"Okay, okay, point taken. And you, stop worrying. I've told you I'll be nice."
They both smile then, and she feels some of the tension ease out of his wiry arm.
"Come on," she says. "Let's go and wait for him."
They take their wine and go and loiter on the wide stone steps. And while Adele impatiently peers up the drive, Rob leans against one of the pillars by the heavy oak doors and drinks. He looks entirely relaxed, which reinforces Adele's suspicion that he's actually a bundle of nerves. Finally, the purr of an engine cuts through the stillness, and Adele lets out a yelp and runs down onto the gravel, jumping up and down.
"He's here! He's here!"
She's so excited. It's like her little family will be complete. No missing Rob when she's with David, and no missing David when she's with Rob. It takes a minute or so for the car to make it down the long drive from the gates, but as soon as he's pulled up, Adele is by the door waiting for him to get out. She looks back at Rob and grins, and from his place, still on the steps, he sends back a half-smile as if suddenly awkward and out of place. He looks small and young standing there, and she wishes he would believe her that it's all going to be okay. David unfurls himself from the car, tall and broad in jeans and a T-shirt, with a thin, pale blue V-neck jumper over the top, and, as it does every time she sees him,
The sight of him takes her breath away. He's a grown man. Her man.
Hey, he says, and pulls her in for a kiss. I've missed you.
I've missed you too. She can't help the smile from her face. She grabs his hand. Come on.
What about the stuff in my car?
That can wait. She pulls him towards the house, to where Rob is shuffling his feet, his shoulders hunched over, as if he's wishing the ground could open up and swallow him. She understands it. Their whole friendship has always been only him and her. In a sudden wave of sympathy, she lets go of David's hand and runs up the stairs to Rob, linking her arm in his and dragging him out of the shadows.
David, this is Rob, my best friend. Rob, this is David, my fiancé. I command that you both love each other immediately.
She smiles, perfectly happy, even after everything, and even here, in this house, she could not be more perfectly happy. By 10:30 on Saturday night, they've all drunk too much, but at least the atmosphere is less strained than it has been. It was wonderful to have David in her arms and bed and inside her last night, and they had laughed and planned and giggled. But she could tell that David wasn't particularly impressed by Rob.
He's shy, she told him as they curled up together, spooning amidst the sweaty sheets.
He doesn't say much. He's a bit odd, was David's verdict. I can't see what you like about him so much.
But today has been different, and she's glad. When she'd got down to the kitchen this morning, Rob had already started cooking breakfast, and instead of sullenly staring at David as he had the day before, he had been giving a comedy cooking demonstration, claiming to be a French chef called Françoise des Oeufs, and making David laugh with his over-the-top performance, adding salt to eggs and frying sausages as if he were the top chef at the Ritz. David then joined in, pretending to be a very stilted BBC interviewer, questioning him about his techniques, and the whole thing descended into a farce pretty quickly, both of the boys doing their best to make each other and then Adele laugh. As they'd eaten, Rob had asked questions about university and was clearly trying to be friendlier, even though that didn't come as easily to him as when he was putting on some silly performance. David had answered all the questions, and although he too still seemed slightly unsure, breakfast had definitely been a turning point. Then they'd gone for a long walk through the woods and dicked around by the well, and it had been fine. She'd loved being out with the two of them, skinny little Rob and her big, strong, handsome David. She is lucky to have them. Rob was definitely trying, and that was working. She can see the awkwardness going out of David slightly. She feels quite content sitting in front of the fire with a gentle wine buzz humming in her head. It might not have been the perfect weekend she'd hoped for, but it's getting better. They're both protective of her, that's all it is, which makes them both wary of each other. She's lucky, really. David gets up to go to the loo and get another bottle of wine, ruffling her hair as he goes past. His fingers feel good, and she smiles at him, watching him leave. Rob, lounging on the rug opposite her, sits up. How am I doing? He asks. Better than yesterday? She grins at him, her other man. You're perfect. Well done.
Maybe you should go to bed, he says. Give us some boy time.
Male bonding, she laughs.
Something like that.
He smiles back. One day he might be handsome, she thinks, when his spots have gone and the braces are off and he's filled out.
He looks so young compared to David. It might be good for us to talk without you here, no offence.
None taken.
A thought strikes her. Don't talk about my money, though, will you? She says. David would hate that I've told you about that. Please don't mention it.
Her words come out in a rush as David's footfalls come back towards them.
Wouldn't dream of it, Rob says,
looking into the mesmerizing flames. Hadn't crossed my mind.